This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Sha-na-na and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together,
what a fine looking Jew.
You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, 'cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah.
Hey there, my Chinese generation. Of course, all other podcasting sites that I do, which include Tokyo SOS and Combo Crazy. Welcome to another night of Tom's Eight Crazy Nights. That's right, we are back. We are still kicking, you know, the Hanukkah theme going. We're going strong. And for this night, I've brought an old friend. You know him, you love him. He's bringing the Shaft back from the past, along with my good friend Chris Stanton, for the new Shaft Plus that will be coming out next year. That is Gene Marquez.
Wow. Why can't any podcaster in the history of existence pronounce my name right? I've had one pronounce it name Marks.
Marquis.
Marks. Not even close.
Marks.
Fail. I've had one podcaster pronounce it right all these years without them actually knowing me. And that would be Obsidian of Commission Comic. And that's only because he's from Latin America.
Well, you gotta admit, the way it's spelled, at least the way I'm looking at it, you would pronounce it Marquez or Marquis.
See, everybody gets the K right, but here's the problem. There actually is an IS, and that's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
It's pronounced Marquis. Much like the title, as in Marquis de Sade. Now, Marquez has a Z.
Yeah.
There actually is an Marquez, and it is pronounced that way. Because it has a heavy accent on the Z. If you were to pronounce it with an accent, it'd be more like Marquez.
Mm.
But because I don't force people to pronounce things in an accent, I'm not an anime director, nor do I force them to pronounce it in 18 syllables, Marks works, because it keeps as close to the traditional pronunciation as humanly possible. It's one of those Ellis Island things.
I get it. Well, you know, don't feel bad. Nobody gets my last name right either.
That's true. We've screwed up your last name.
Well, not just you, but every, you know, and, you know, like, Matisse. Everybody pronounces it Matisse.
At least they're not going up to you and going, "Hurt."
I hate you so much. Hurt. So in other words, you're saying I'm to blame for the nostalgia critic going away.
No.
Okay. Nice.
Just the way that was pronounced. They may think you're Mati. I don't think anyone would confuse you for Mati, but you know.
No, there's no way. I look like maybe I ate Mati or Mati.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. I'm a big motherfucker.
You're one big mofo.
But But, you know, Gina is joining us to help us celebrate the holidays by talking about the holidays. Let's get right into it because, just to let you know, folks, I'll probably be releasing it as a little special. But, yeah, we've already been talking for 50 minutes.
About total nonsense.
Just, you know, shooting
We'll just
shit.
Have to come back and do a nonsense show. That's it. That's how it's going to
Yep.
go. Total nonsense will be spouted nonstop. We'll talk about everything but the holidays in that one.
Yeah. But you know, we're going to start with the holidays as we usually do. We're going to start with question one, which is holiday tradition. So, Gene, what is some of your favorite holiday traditions that you do either by yourself or with your family?
Well, me, I just sit around and stare into the middle distance with my famous bowls from KFC. No, I don't really do that. One tradition I do, since I do celebrate the holidays by myself, is I do make the traditional Christmas dinner. It lasts for a week. It's the gift that keeps on giving right up till New Year's. Then I finally get to eat something different. But I go out. I will get a turkey of some kind. I usually get a very easy to cook turkey. Nothing too big either, because one guy. But, and it really will split into three or four meals. But I will still do a traditional dinner, period. That is something I will do on the holidays. On Christmas Eve, when I have it off, I had to work last year. Last year, what ended up happening is I had to work until about 4 o'clock. I don't have to this year. My bosses are both coming in on Christmas Eve because it's a Monday. So I guess it's more convenient for them. But it was a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come in. What ended up happening is I also went down to my church to cover the audiovisual. I basically just went in, did that, went home. What I normally do is I crank in the Christmas movies, specifically It's a Wonderful Life.
Movie we'll be talking about later.
For me, yeah, oh yeah. For me, I'll throw in that, and I will throw in a specific version of A Christmas Carol. Now, this one holds significance because it is by far my favorite version of the piece. If you check IMDb, there are 10, not even counting like Muppet Christmas Carol or anything like that, just the traditionally told Dickens Christmas Carol. There are about 10 plus, there are about a dozen of them told throughout the years. Mine comes from 1953. I'll talk about it more specifically later. But this is a movie that was played on a segment called The Movie Loft during the Christmas season on a local station. It is by far my favorite version of The Christmas Carol and has been since I was 7.
Is this the one where, like, when he's going to Tiny Tim's, one of the kids has, like, this giant Ferris wheel?
No.
Okay.
Scrooge is, and by the way, this is my favorite version of the Christmas Carol. My other favorite is one that's performed by a terrific group of stage performers, which is done at the somewhat local to me North Shore Music Theater. I went absolutely ape because they got bumped for High School Musical a few years ago. I went absolutely ape over that. Which was a disgrace. They've since brought it back because everybody complained. Actually, after that performance, the studio went under. The theater went under, and then somebody, a private investor, brought it back. They have since restored doing the Christmas Carol there. And it's one of those old stages, so it's a roundhouse stage. Very old
Roundhouse.
And I'm not trying to point out, and I like that show, by the way, I'm not trying to point out Roundhouse from the Nickelodeon SNICK days, but it is a roundhouse studio, which means you have stadium seating and the stage is literally round.
Yeah.
And you can see it from all sides.
I knew what you're talking about, but again, we're geeks.
We're nerds.
You say something that, nerds.
Yeah, we said a nerd thing.
No, not just that, but God, how old am I now?
Yeah.
The heck, I remember that show. God.
I like that a lot better than all that. I'll tell you that right now.
All that had
saved my bacon, though. That's a story for another day, but Roundhouse saved my butt when I was on a field trip.
I'll say this. The only thing I hate about the reshowing of all that right now on Teen Nick is that they cut out the musical performances.
Oh, those were my least favorite part anyway. So that's probably good for me. But
well, Oh, go ahead.
Moving back onto traditions, that was kind of a tradition when I was a kid because we'd always do a field trip up there to see it. Like, all the local schools would all do field trips, and the entire audience would be local school kids who got a chance to go and see it. There would be, of course, some adults in there, probably some critics from the papers. The last time I went, my girlfriend at the time, her father writes for the Boston Globe. So he got tickets for all of us because of that. So we got in for free that time. It's normally expensive, too, so it's not exactly fun. Like, if you go into school kids, they give you a discount because it's a tax write-off. But that was a tradition when I was a kid. Not so much now because I have really no way to get there, and you can only see it so many times before, you know, your nostalgia glasses kill it. So that's kind of fallen by the wayside. So I will, however, rewatch this version of A Christmas Carol. I'll talk about that because I know you talk about media later in your questions. Yeah. I looked you up. You magnificent bastard, I read your book. But that's one of the things I will do on Christmas Eve is I will watch those two movies. Another Christmas tradition, and a far more geeky one, and I may resurrect it this year, is watching the classic Star Wars trilogy.
Ah!
When I was a kid, back in the day, when I was a little munchkin, they would run the Star Wars trilogy on USA nonstop. All day.
And now it's run nonstop on Spike.
Right, they brought it.
Unfortunately, they interchanged the...
They put the prequels in.
They
added the prequels. I know. And I might actually add watching the prequels. But I may keep it to the traditional trilogy instead. But that was a tradition for the longest time until USA stopped doing it. But by that time, I had the THX versions and then eventually the special editions, and we just popped those in.
Mm-hmm.
It popped those in the VCR. I still own both of those editions. They're sitting on a shelf in my office. I will tell you right now, I do not have the actually, I do have the DVD versions of the classic trilogy. I've yet to get the Blu-rays. Chris, the Star Wars nerd, has the Blu-rays. I've yet to get the Blu-rays of all of them, and I probably should, considering how much I love Blu-ray. But then again, I have Lord of the Rings to still get. I have Star Wars to still get. So
Back to the Future.
Oh, I have Back to the Future.
Oh.
That I have. You know why? Because it was $15 at Target. Why would I not pick that up?
Absolutely.
Back to the Future, that I have. I have the Pirates trilogy as well, by the way, because that I got a good deal on. I just need on Stranger Tides, and I'm all set.
Yep.
Those I have. It's Lord of the Rings and Star Wars that, you know, do not come down in price very often or sell out very easily. But that's another Christmas tradition I've always had. And I haven't been up on my Christmas traditions lately, but those are the ones that have always been there.
Yeah.
Throughout. So that's something I hope to bring back this year.
For me, you know, and as I've done these recordings for this year, you know, again, I have, you know, distinct to two main things. One is, you know, again, lighting the candles, especially on the first night when we're all having fun. I definitely enjoy that. Well, I enjoy the prayers.
By the way, that almost brings me to a funny story today, but I'll let you continue.
But, you know, it is a thing. You know, I do enjoy the prayers and the songs and that stuff, especially when you have the Hanukkah party and everybody's playing, everybody interchanges gifts and everything. That's a favorite tradition that I look forward to every year. I also look forward to the typical Jewish, you know, by the time we get to the fifth or sixth night, we're like, oh, fuck it.
oh, that's a good attitude.
It really is. People think I'm lying about that. It's the Jewish way. But, you know, I also love going around looking at Christmas lights. It's one of my favorite things to do during the holiday season.
I would continue to do that, but so few people put up lights these days.
Well, I'm hoping to look forward to it because, again, I live in a very very silvery area in New Jersey that where people could afford it.
No, we have people who can afford it. They just don't do it not out of cost, but out of sloth.
Well, I look forward to hopefully at some point going to look at different Christmas lights in the area. I'll bring up a geek tradition that I try to do every year. You have your Star Wars, me being the big Disney fan I am. I try to watch basically from The Little Mermaid all the way through to Tarzan.
Okay.
Basically the 90s expansion of Disney that was very, very good.
Okay.
So that's my sort of geek tradition I do during the holidays, or movies that I watch during Christmas, especially because, that's when they would come out. It's the Disney movies. They would be released during the holiday season, like mid-November.
Oh, absolutely. The funny thing is, one time in the 90s, I actually went out to see the Santa Claus and ended up walking out with a poster for Power Rangers the movie. never saw it until VHS. And for any younger listeners who may be listening, it's like, imagine a DVD, but big. Just look it up on Google Images. You'll see what I mean.
I still have VHS.
And I will admit, it was one of the few times where I watched something with Johnny Young Bosch and sadly didn't know the difference.
Oh, he was okay in that movie.
Or on that franchise. Well, to be fair, I've heard like bad things about how horrible the shooting was for that movie. Like how just like completely insane it was to shoot that thing. Like the horror stories. I guess you could listen to History of the Power Rangers for that, though.
Yeah.
The movie I saw, by the way, was The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. The first one, the good one.
Yeah, which, again, I'm sure we'll be talking about later. What was your little funny story that you said you had?
How you had to light your Hanukkah candles. I had to remind someone to light their Advent candles.
Ah, okay.
Which turned into having to look up what they all mean and then printing them out. And it took like 25 minutes when Chris just sat there and brought it up on his phone in two. You didn't have to go to all that trouble. We have the technology. We make it run faster, better, stronger.
I will say, here's one tradition I hope at one point in the future I want to start. And I've heard other Jewish people bring this lexicon statement up, so I know I'm not the only person who's had this idea.
Eating Chinese
food. But a Hanukkah bush.
Oh, sorry. Hanukkah bush.
Basically, it's what some Jews rationalize to buy a Christmas tree and put it up in their homes. But we don't call it a Christmas tree. We call it the Hanukkah bush.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Because I'm about to say, who came up with this idea? The rabbis of Ni?
Oh.
Bring me a shrubbery. I haven't watched that in a while, but it's still quotable.
I'm like, why don't we, I remember it being young, saying, Mom, why don't we have a Hanukkah bush? There's no such thing as a Hanukkah bush. We're not doing it. Be the kid wanting to have a Christmas tree after we, we had moved, because we started off celebrating Christmas. And then there was a time frame when we, my mom was starting to bring us up as Jewish. We celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah, and then we just celebrate Hanukkah.
Which is fine. You celebrate the one you go with. Don't try and cram four. Don't try and celebrate them all, because you'll I don't think you get extra presents for it. I think that's a myth.
No, not anymore. But not tough. When you grow up.
Times are tough. You can't be expecting Christmas gifts or holiday gifts for everything.
Speaking of gifts, I think that's a great segue into question number two. Which is, favorite gifts of your past, or, gifts of present that you've either gotten or given.
Okay. Okay. Here's where that funny story comes in that I mentioned. It's a funny story. I promise not to tell it like Tommy Wiseau. Okay. So when I was younger, in my tender teenage years, there was a big box in my dining room for about most of the Christmas season. I noticed, because it was a pain in the neck to get to the kitchen. So it was sitting there, and my mom was telling me the whole time, oh, it's for your aunt. Your grandmother got her a TV. Okay. Cause I don't care. Grandmother got her a TV. Okay, great. Or something like that. Come Christmas Day, the box is, they're like, oh, they're going to pick it up Christmas Eve. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Why pick it up on Christmas Eve? She's busy on Christmas Eve. I still didn't care. It's still there Christmas Day. Oh, this is for you. We just lied to you. Merry Christmas. It ended up being a TV, which I had up until like 2003.
Nice.
Like old 32-inch, big, huge TV. Yes, for you younger viewers out there, TVs used to be big, blocky, awkward things. Look it up on Google. Well, look up CRT TV in Google Images. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, welcome to the old-timer hour.
No.
Because back in our day, when we had to walk 15 miles in the snow to connect the cable.
No, we're going to patronize the youngsters. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to keep doing that, too. Anytime I bring up a reference to old things, I'm gonna basically tell them to look at the images. I ruined the joke, but I don't care. So.
Well, it's not like you're the only person who, beats a joke with a, beats like a dead horse with a wrecking ball.
Yeah. So.
Because that would be the pot calling the kettle black.
Got another one. My mom was a penny pincher. I'm a penny pincher. I don't buy things unless I can get a deal on them somehow. Just about everything I have ever bought has been on sale, including game systems. I will buy a game system either on sale or with a deal. I can't think of... Oh, the only exception has been the Nintendo Wii because it was so hard to get, but I mean, it wasn't that expensive to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I paid $100 for my 3DS. I paid normal price for my PS3, but got a lot of free games and other add-ons. That kind of thing. The Wii has been the lone exception. The PS2, my PS2 was a gift, and my computers I've gotten all on a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we pinch every penny. So I open up this box, and I look at my mom, and I go, "It's a box. It's a VCR box." So I'm like, "Oh, it's probably stuff like 1,000 GI Joes in this thing, or 1,000 WWF wrestlers or something in here." It's like I just look at it. I'm like, "What's in the box?" Before I open it, because it's not like I have a cutting knife ready to go.
Yeah.
It's not like I got a box cutter in my back pocket. I'm 15. It's like it's a VCR. Like, seriously, you actually got me a VCR? Yeah. And she starts laughing because I thought there was something else in the box. Story she told up until the end. But I open up and it's a VCR. I'm like, you pinch every penny. You reuse boxes. I thought there was like 1,000 Star Wars figures or G.I. Joes or something in here. No, it's a VCR. I'm like, oh, well, that's great. Thanks. I'm not ungrateful. I'm just, thinking practical.
As your mother taught you.
Exactly. I'm like, you made me this way, dang it. So those are the entertaining Christmas gift stores. Not so much interesting in giving, though.
Mm-hmm.
In Christmas gifts given, I'm very lazy. I basically just handed people their Christmas gifts and said, here. I don't make them wait till Christmas. I don't wrap them. There's no point. Not at 29, and none of them are kids. If they were kids, I understand. But I give gifts to adults that they don't care. You just give them to them and they're all excited. Like, Chris, anime, here you go. Enjoy. Oh, Angelo, Matt, games. Enjoy.
Oh, would Matt, wouldn't it be hentai?
No, that would be you.
Wasn't Matt in the closet, or was that somebody else I was thinking of?
Oh, no, we put him in the closet. That was the joke. That was the closet. Yeah. Though not it wasn't a gay joke. It was just he was literally in the closet.
But I think for me, for gifts of my past, the three distinct times. The most recent one was 96. This is a time when I was celebrating Hanukkah. Like the first and last gift were Independence Day vehicles that I got. Like they were the movie? Yeah.
Okay.
It was the F-16 Hornet that had like missiles and like it had battle damage on it and a little figure. And I got the alien fighter as well. Well, I liked Independence Day.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just didn't know they made action figures for it.
Well, yeah, they had a whole toy line for Independence Day.
I totally didn't notice. I guess I was too busy making fun of my Air Force One official beverage cup.
but in between those was I got the Master Art line of Godzilla figures that were based off the 90s series.
Okay.
That's where my Space Godzilla came from, which I know you've seen.
Right. Yeah.
But I got Space Godzilla, I got Batra, I got Mothra, I got a roaring Rodan that had a button, you pressed it, it roared, or at least until the batteries went out. But the big one was I got a Godzilla with cyber armor. Because that's what Godzilla needs. Armor and arm-mounted lasers and Gatling guns. Because he's not dangerous enough.
Right, exactly. I think it, by that point, I had like a ton of Star Wars guys. I missed them already.
I miss my toys too.
I miss my A. Here's the thing. I had a lot of the vehicles too. Like I miss my A-wing. I miss my T-16. I miss my TIE fighters. Because the nice thing is the department store we had in town at the time constantly put Star Wars stuff on sale.
Nice.
So it was like nothing to go down and like buy a couple or get them as gifts because they were so cheap. They were like really cheap gifts. Like the figures were all $3 every so often too. I just miss those because, you know, I don't have much in the way of figures. Like I'm not you with the figures or the models or anything. So I literally have two. I have a undead warlock from World of Warcraft, which Chris got me as a gift one year.
Nice.
And my Darth Malgus statue from the collector's edition of Star Wars The Old Republic, which is awesome, by the way. Those are cool, but that's all I have. I may get figures at AB. I haven't figured that out yet. The problem with getting them at a con is getting them home in one piece.
Yeah.
And I'm rough with my luggage because I have to ride a train, so I have to lift the thing over my head and put it in the compartment and whatnot. There's no room to put the thing between your legs. It's a suitcase. You've seen my suitcase.
That's it. but for me, the second one is 94. That was the year I got my Super Nintendo. And most because I got Super Mario World. It came with a coupon that I cashed in like at a Walmart to get Super Mario All-Stars. And, of course, before Christmas, I had gotten a VHS from Nintendo Power that was basically previewing Donkey Kong Country.
The odd thing is every my classic consoles, except actually, oh, dang it, I got another one because this is a Christmas story.
Oh, go ahead.
Because here's the thing. My SNES and Genesis and N64 were all birthday presents. It was actually kind of rare that I would get I'd get a console for Christmas. My Game Boy I bought myself, by the way. I just got that for me because I had a good coupon and I just got a job so I could afford to get a Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Paid $60 for that Game Boy, by the way, out of like 120. It was color, Game Boy color. Still own it, but it's kind of busted. The sound's kind of busted. Only vintage console-esque thing I have, by the way, now, which makes me sad. But the only other gaming systems I've gotten for Christmas were the only other consoles I've gotten for Christmas were my PlayStation 1,
mm-hmm.
my PlayStation 2, because certain people broke my PlayStation 1, so they decided to gift me the PlayStation 2 for Christmas. And what I'm about to tell you, my NES, or should I say three NESs.
Nice.
I got three NESs at 5 years old on the same Christmas. My grandmother got me a NES, my mom got me a NES, and my dad got me a NES. I had three Nintendos. My aunt was furious. She just had the one, so she was all ticked off. So I had three copies of Mario. I literally just put them in, and I actually had one of them break, so it was a good thing I had spares. So I actually had one of them break on me like 3 years later. I'm like, oh, they'll just bust out another one.
But you know,
I definitely had two controllers to play with. Here's the other thing. If I had friends over, I definitely had extra controllers. So we could all play Mario.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but most of my games were games that the AVGN has reviewed. I actually owned Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Yeah, but I also had great stuff like Mario 3 and Faxanadu, which are awesome games, and Zelda 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, now you know why I'm very, very picky about getting games.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, with me and, you know, the Super Nintendo, the other thing, though, I got that Christmas last Hanukkah, because, again, that was during that time, was I got a new bike. And the reason I needed a new bike was because, and I think I've told you this story before, but my old bike, a month earlier, I came out to ride it, and I found it up on blocks with the wheels stolen.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, because I had my bike, like, we had a pillar in front of our house of the apartment complex. They had, like, pillars.
Right.
And so my bike was, like, chained to the pillar. Didn't take the bike, just the wheels up on blocks. It was the literal proof that I lived in the hood.
Yeah, pretty much.
But my last story is a NES story as well. This is 1989. You know, lived in California, back with my father. And then, you know, I'd gotten, like, you know, there was a game with the monkeys, you flip them in the tree. And up to a certain point, the biggest gift I got, or at least my favorite gift, was a copy, a VHS of Hulk Hogan back when he was in the NWA, or the AWA, excuse me.
Yeah, AWA.
And, you know, and was a bad guy, which is very confusing for a young Hulkamaniac.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I should have told you the first match I had ever seen as a kid was Taker Hogan at WrestleMania.
Oh.
I was rooting for Hogan. Everyone else in the room was rooting for Taker.
Taker never fought Hogan at WrestleMania.
He did. Pretty sure it was WrestleMania.
No, he never did.
Okay, then it was Survivor Series. It was one of the
probably Survivor
It was
Series,
one of the big
yeah.
ones because it was for the title.
Yeah.
I might have mixed it up. I know it wasn't Royal Rumble because I would have probably liked the Rumble match a lot. By the way, my favorite match of the year is the Royal Rumble. Yeah. But yeah, that was my first. It was the first one I really watched before I got into wrestling. My naive 5-6-year-old mind was rooting for Hogan when everyone else was rooting for Taker. I felt like an idiot. Since then, I have always rooted for the Undertaker. Good guy, bad guy, Taker.
Yep.
Seems to work out well at WrestleMania time. That's an easy bet.
Yep. Well, you never know. I'll tell you my theories later, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, we're going to need another podcast at this point.
But basically, you know, the thing I wanted that year was I wanted a Nintendo, and I didn't get it. I was kind of sad, and then my dad goes, "Wait, what's this back here?" And we had these love seats that kind of could hide something, and he pulls out of this, like, hiding place in the back corner of the living room this big box, and he hands it to me, and I grab it, I rip it open, and there's my NES.
Nice.
It was literally just like out of a Christmas story. And unfortunately, I could not shoot my eyes out with the light gun.
Oh, I'm sure you tried, too.
But, yeah, that's when I got my Nintendo, which, yeah. Yeah, I love playing that. My two favorite games on that were Mario Brothers, of course, and Wayne Gretzky's Hockey.
Okay.
Proving I am a hockey fan.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too. Yeah, hockey's not here right now, and I'm very sad.
That's why I said I'm sorry. I can't settle their differences.
Second lockout in, like, 10 years. Like, God damn it.
Well, I'm enjoying football right now. Then again, when you root for the Patriots and you live in New England, football season is always fun.
Yes.
Especially with the Thanksgiving game. Again, I could go on for that for a while, too.
But with that, I think that's a great segue. You know, you bring up football, and my favorite thing to do at a football game is tailgating, which is a great segue into holiday food.
Wow, you are reaching. I thought I reached for a segue. I'll just, like, break down and admit that was horrible. But, like, speaking of chickens, let's talk about the latest Full Metal Alchemist. That's a segue I will do, and I'll sit back and go, "Hey, that was stupid, but let's talk about it anyway."
But anyways, holiday food. So what's some of your favorite holiday food?
Jack Daniels. I'm just kidding. No, I'm a straight edge of CM Punk. I'm a traditionalist. Turkey,
mm-hmm.
stuffing, mashed potatoes, buddies.
All of mine. Yep, that's on my list too.
Cranberry sauce, that jelly stuff. That I could eat a whole can of that if you know.
I'm finding that I like cranberries more and more during as I get older, but really only not like by themselves, but like with the meal.
Well,
like if I have a fork, I want turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and cranberry all on the fork at the same time.
You like to try a little of everything? Great.
Yeah.
No, but. I feel the same way as I get older, too. Like, I drink cranberry pomegranate juice a lot.
Okay.
I will drink apple juice, too. But I will have that. But I try, and that's one of those times where I do insist on juice with a meal. I don't want to have, like, soda. That was mm-hmm. fine when you were a kid, but not as an adult. I can't bring myself to drink soda during a holiday meal ever. Thanksgiving, Christmas, mm-hmm. Easter. Oh, that'll be a switch. I'll actually be home for Easter for once. I have no idea what I'm doing then. I'm so used to going
probably,
to Anna Boston.
Probably be doing Tom's crazy Easter podcast or something.
There we
like
go.
That.
I'll do that. It'll give me something to do. Well, no, I've been at a convention every Easter for the past 3 years.
And they're not having it on Easter this year.
Yeah, they're not having it on Easter. PAX is in March and Anime Boston's Memorial Day week, which is good for me because I get a paid Monday off. But that's neither here nor there. That's good because I would like to refresh from the convention mm-hmm. and cry that I'm not there still. But, I'm very traditional with the food. I don't go nuts. I don't even really make too many desserts or anything. I don't mm-hmm. even get the cookies or the Christmas cookies. Maybe I'll get Christmas candy another tradition I haven't celebrated it lately, but I am kind of transitioning that to a different but similar food was pistachios. Every Christmas since I was 8, I had gotten pistachios from somebody. Big mm-hmm. bags of pistachio nuts, period, in my stocking every year till I was 23. Oh, excuse me, 25. Every year for 20-ish years, I had gotten pistachio nuts every year without fail from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I am replicating that tradition to cashews because whole cashews, not that bits and pieces crap, whole cashews, because I'm sick of ripping the nuts open. Now that I work in IT and I have to use my fingers all the time, I don't want to cut them on the stupid shells. Because I will go through the entire bag and destroy my fingers in the process. That was also bad when I wanted to play video games, too. But not as bad because I need the flats of the fingers more than the edges. When you type, you need the edges more than the flats. With gaming, you need the flats more. I've actually ruined my hand on a game, but that's not a holiday story. So I'm transitioning that over to cashews. So I will get a whole thing of whole cashews when I go to get Christmas food this week or next week or whenever people feel like going to the supermarket to do it or whenever I feel like walking up there to do it. A new food holiday tradition that I've invented recently, because it's only been around for a few years, is Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash.
Oh.
That stuff is awesome. And because now it's with sugar, I have no regrets about getting 5 or 6 12 packs and going through them single-handedly.
It's the new Mountain Dew Whiteout.
Well, it's also caffeine-free, too, which, again, I've kind of given up caffeine. Not so much because of the straight-edge thing, but more because it screws up my sleep schedule. And I work 12-hour days, so my sleep schedule screwed up enough as it is, so I keep to caffeine-free everything, water. I make my own soda now, so this will be the only time where I will actually go out to a store and buy soda.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very special. I wish I had a holiday hawk for this, but whatever. But this is a new food tradition that we have implemented for Christmas and New Year's. So that'll be fun. I've only had one bottle of it thus far this year.
Maybe if I see it in the store, I'll have to try it.
It is by far the best like soda you can have. It makes me so sad it's not year round.
Mm-hmm.
They have a strawberry kiwi one, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good, especially since they make it with real sugar now and all that high fructose stuff, and you can taste the difference. I could. It has no bite to it. It's very smooth, but bubbly. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Probably the holiday drink du jour. The other thing I recommend is the Jones's Thanksgiving drink. I've never had it, but I would definitely get some enjoyment by watching another human being drink that crap.
I'm sure you would.
Well, that's why I watched Brad try.
Well, you know, for
it
me...
It taught me to not eat a Canwich. Which is like teaching... It was just like teaching somebody to not play with fire. Okay, Thomas's food.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, like I said, turkey and all that stuff, that's on there. You know, I do like the sweets because really...
I should also mention that ham was once a part of holiday meals, but that was depending on who was cooking it.
Oh, yeah, we have ham every
bad, Thomas, bad.
Oh, you know I don't keep kosher.
I was about to say, you're not supposed to do that. That's bad, Thomas. Well, because my grandmother would put that ham glaze like an inch thick on the dang thing. So if somebody else made the ham, I'd eat the ham too. My grandfather got a honey-baked ham before he passed. It was actually the last – he actually passed 2 weeks later. Mm. Actually, a week later because Christmas – the New Year's is a week after Christmas. It happened right around New Year's. So a week later. That thing tastes like candy bacon. Like if you put like sugar on bacon, like candy sugar on bacon, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, the sweets, you know, the cookies, you know, gingerbread cookies. You know, but you can have chocolate chip cookies any time of the year, but you know, there's only a certain time you get to have gingerbread cookies, and I like gingerbread cookies.
That's fun.
Pumpkin pie, and again, it's really only this time of year that it comes out. I mean, you can get it. But really, this is, like, the really only time of the year.
Where you don't look like a doofus eating it?
Yeah. But, you know, I enjoy my pumpkin pie. Hot chocolate.
Oh, I'm too freaking... Hot chocolate used to be a tradition before I got too lazy to get it. And there's no way I'm buying a Keurig machine just for freaking hot chocolate.
But, and going more traditional, latkes. I love potato pancakes. Especially just plain potato pancakes, sour cream. My favorite thing to do. It's one of the biggest reasons why I like Hanukkah.
See, what they need to do is make sour cream and onion potato pancakes. They've done it to chips. They could do it to potato pancakes.
Yeah.
It's not that...
Well, I like that they're exploring with potato pancakes now to where, like, they have, like, their latkes with, like, bacon and, you know, peppers in them.
Because that's kosher.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
Why not add like chip-like flavors like barbecue or sour cream and onion?
I'm
thinking like an idiot, but there is a certain truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about hash browns, if it makes you feel any better. I think a sour cream and onion hash brown at McDonald's would actually sell.
Let's ex-nay on the McNay.
Okay. Well, I feel like Papa Gino's ripped off one of my ideas lately. I said they should do family meal deals like KFC. Sure enough, they now do family meal deals with pasta.
Uh-huh.
Where you get a salad, a side, a drink, and a big, huge thing of pasta for like one price. The thing we've latched onto is the wings, though. That's a new Year's tradition we're starting this year because it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think that's a great way to, you know, not have a segue of any kind and just go right into holiday literature. So, Gene, what is some of your holiday literature?
Oh, I don't – I'll be honest with you. I do not read as much Christmas stuff. When you're older, you don't read as much Christmas stuff. Back in the day when I was a kid, we would read some of the traditional Christmas stories. As crazy as it sounds, we've actually read stuff from the Bible. we had a children's Bible, and they actually would set aside the whole story of Jesus, but we read that. But not really so much the literature. I think we were at that time where the literature and, you know, the TV and films have kind of like meshed at this point where there's not so much reading. Sure, there's also the little stories like, and they read them in every single Christmas movie I've ever seen. Santa going up to the roof, there was such a clatter. Like I said, TV and movies have dumbed me from because it's no longer about Christmas literature; it's about Christmas pop culture.
Yep.
And I swear I feel stupid. I feel like I am an illiterate boob. I feel like a buffoon. I feel like I should be in TNA's audience right now.
Oh.
But. Okay, maybe not that. Maybe I'm not that far gone, but yeah, I really don't have any literature, especially now. But even as a kid, not so much a lot of literature. And you know, there were the occasional, you know, Christmas stories here and there, but nothing, you know, nothing stood out to me.
With me, you know, I like to read a couple pages of, you know, A Christmas Carol. You know, every year, because it is a classic story, and it just there's sort of a holiday feel of reading. It's a Christmas Carol at the holidays, and of course, Twas the Night Before Christmas. It's a poem I always enjoy both reading and, you know, listening other people read it. My two favorite readings of Twas the Night Before Christmas were one was. Tell a story here. When I was in fourth and fifth grade, I went to a school called Brobson Challenge, and they would go to this show called the George Steinbrenner Show at a theater called Ruth Eckert Hall down in Florida in Clearwater.
I like those calzones, George. You gotta go down to Paisano's and get those calzones. Big Stein wants a calzone. Sorry, I have to do a George Steinbrenner line whenever somebody mentions him.
Yeah, well, you know, in his kind of like the national anthem, I have to sing every time somebody says a certain nation's name. He did this show, and we went there. And basically the show was the Florida Orchestra was there, and they would play holiday music, and there were special guests. And one of the special guests was Hulk Hogan. And I believe he still does the show every year.
Wow.
And Hulk Hogan would read "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
You know who I want to read "The Night Twas the Night Before Christmas"? Christopher Walken. That would be awesome.
I think this poem needs more cowbells.
No, have you heard him reading stuff?
Yes.
There's a bit on The Simpsons where they did that, and then a couple of talk shows actually had him do it. And it was the best thing I've ever seen. Just, like, look up Christopher Walken anything on YouTube. I think it was in the Nostalgia Critics Top 11, too.
But it was really funny.
I see Hulk Hogan, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas,
brother. Before Christmas, brother."
There was much clatter, dude. And he got his fat butt down the chimney. And he got presents for all the Hulkamaniacs.
No, he did actually read it very traditional. It's actually very funny because...
The guy is a caricature.
Yeah.
Like anyone who tries to do a Samuel Jackson impression must by law mention snakes on a plane. And anyone impersonating Hulk Hogan must say the words dude and brother no less than 18 times. And anyone impersonating the Ultimate Warrior must just completely yell at the top of their lungs for 5 minutes.
Yeah. But it's actually very funny because the fourth grade year was before he formed the NWO with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. And the year after was, after he formed the NWO. with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. So
And the rest. I just looked at a thing on Reddit earlier at how big the NWO got in its prime, and it really was ridiculous.
Yes. But it was funny because even though he was wearing black and white, it was Hollywood Hulk Hogan. When he went to the show in the fifth grade, he was still in his yellow and red, but he had his black beard. It was hilarious. And that year he brought Macho Man Randy Savage with him.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's even better. Another guy from the NWO. He might as well just went out there with Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
Just come out strumming his invisible guitar. Yeah, that would have went over well with the kids.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Randy Savage came out there in his old stuff. Like, he didn't come.
Yeah, old stuff.
He came out
colors. But the fourth grade year, because what they would do afterwards with the kids, when they'd go back on their bus, they had these little things, and they also had, like, New York Yankee players there. And the fourth grade year, they had Derek Jeter there. Yeah, Steinbrenner. You had the New York Yankees there, and Derek Jeter was there in his uniform along with Bernie Williams and Hulk Hogan. They were all giving out these duffel bags that had, like, a ball, a holographic card of New York Stadium, and tons of other
Yankee
stuff.
Yankee Stadium?
Yeah. Well, it's a holographic, like, baseball card of old Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Like the Yankee Stadium that just got torn down.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. When you were, they just did it, so it still was Yankee Stadium, the one George worked in.
Yeah. And I got my duffel bag handed to me by Hulk Hogan, which, again, I was still a huge Hulk Mania fan at the time. I was like, oh.
Apparently,
which sounds horrible. But, again, you got to put it in perspective. I was like a little 10, 11-year-old kid at that time. So I was allowed to be in awe.
Wrestling at that time. I think that's when I was like in between wrestling still.
Yeah. But that was like right before I got in between wrestling for me.
That's the funny thing. I was in between wrestling during the height of WCW.
Me too.
Exactly. Like, I had no idea who the NWO were. I had no idea Hogan was on WCW until I started watching WWE. Because here's the thing.
I started
rewatching Raw with new DX. Like, non-Shawn Michaels DX.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the funny thing. I started to lose interest right after the NWO formed. And I came back on right after, it was like late 99. It was right as SmackDown had only recently started.
Yeah, I was still watching then. I was watching really hard. Because here's why. I'm going to do my best not to hijack your show, but I basically...
As opposed to lose it.
You know what? We should just do this as a separate podcast at some point. Because
we're definitely have to do wrestling as a separate podcast.
We're going to have to do that now. That's it.
Yeah.
My inane thoughts on wrestling. This ought to be good.
that's one of my favorite readings. The other one is a comedic. It's when I lived in Florida, I listened to a rap station called Wild 98.7, now Wild 94.1. But at the time, they had a gentleman named Paco. English wasn't his first language. He was raised in America, but he still had the typical sort of Spanish English accent. And so they had a thing called Reading with Paco, where he would try to read classic literature. And so they had him read Twas the Night Before Christmas. And this is how he started out the very first line of it. T-was the night before Christmas.
Oh, good.
And they had to spend 5 minutes explaining to him what T-was means.
I guess like Data, he probably has problems with contractions.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I can T not read this.
No, I'm going to be sending this to you.
Oh, goody. There's a Christmas gift that keeps on giving.
I swear to God, it's funny as hell. You'll enjoy it.
Dude.
But I enjoy reading that. And then there's the life and adventures of Santa Claus, which I enjoy. And then, of course, there's the few Christmas comics that I've gotten to read that I very much enjoy.
You better not bring up the Warrior Christmas comic.
There was a Warrior Christmas comic?
Oh, my gosh. I won't discuss it on the show, but go watch the Warrior, the that guy with the glasses Warrior reviews. You'll see what happens.
Yeah. But, no, really the two ones. One is a Terra Witch of the Black Rose comic. It was issue 40, where the first part was Taro, you know, and her friends, and, you know, they're at her house and just hanging around, and
Vagina's
they decide to go
haunted,
sledding.
You know, a typical Taro night.
I'm gonna smack you. I really am.
Well, here's the thing. It's like talking about All-Star Batman and Robin and not bringing up the goddamn Batman, okay?
That's your one. Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one. What did you?
But
from Family Guy.
Yes, I did. They decided to go sledding down a hill, and a couple fairies decided to play a trick on them and freeze them naked. And they basically had this.
Oh wow! Sort of fight. As long as it ends like, as long as that.
But not freeze them naked, but like strip them naked. Even better. And then there's a little side story afterwards where about a character named Spellarella, who, you know, has having its holiday party that's, like, crashed by monsters. But the other one is the second Metropolis mailbag. This was part of Funeral for a Friend. And I have this. And basically, this had happened after Superman died in 90... I believe it was still 92. I can't remember. Maybe it was 93, early 93.
It was 93.
Yeah. And in this issue, basically, it was the second Metropolis mailbag. The previous year, Superman had a Metropolis mailbag where it gets revealed that the Metropolis post office holds letters for Superman. And, you know, every year during the holidays, he looks at them and tries to, you know, help do certain wishes.
Kind of like how some post offices will actually hold mail for Santa, and in some cases they'll actually do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was actually inspired from that kind of work.
And so with the year that Superman died, what was at the time then the Justice League, or roughly the Justice
League. Well, the JLA.
Yeah, the JLA tried to, you know, do what Superman did every year and tried to, and it was just this great story of showing, like, how much one man could do and how it took all these superheroes to do it. It had, like, great moments with Guy Gardner and everything.
Right. I've heard very few mentions of this before, but that is a great – it sounds like it was a really great comic.
Yeah, so it's one of my goals, like, in the future is to try to find more holiday comics. Because I know that I've heard there are some good holiday stories out there that I just want to find. One of which apparently that takes place during the holidays, apparently technically, is Marvel Team Up 79, where it's Spider-Man teaming up with Red Sonja.
Oh, that's interesting.
Basically, Mary Jane gets I don't want to say possessed, but basically possessed by Red Sonja and turns into Red Sonja. And her and Spider-Man team up to fight.
That actually sounds like a fun comic.
It is a fun comic. Andrew Leland brought up an early episode, and I made the joke, if only it was like 10 issues earlier, we could call it issue 69, Spider-Man and Red Sonja.
No. No.
Because I'm horrible
You are horrible. I'm not defending that. That is bad. Yeah, I'm not as much of a comic nut, but I do my best to keep dabbling in.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's move on to what is actually one of my favorite questions of the show, and that is holiday music. So what is some of your favorite holiday music?
Holiday music? Anything that's not Bieber. No, I will actually listen to pretty much most traditional Christmas music. I don't like many of the modern artists who have done Christmas music. Even in the 90s, I didn't. Like, when it was all Backstreet Boys and NSYNC doing Christmas albums, it made me want to retch.
Well, you know, I liked R&B in the 90s and their Christmas albums. Like, you know, Boys to Men, All for One, Mariah Carey.
That's real R&B. And, if you listen to that and that, like, clicks in the middle of, like, Christmas music, like, if you're out shopping, that's excellent.
Yeah.
I don't listen to classical, but like traditional Christmas songs are pretty much where it's at for me. I've never been behind like contemporary artists like making up their own Christmas songs. I can't think of like there's probably only two Christmas songs I can think of done by an artist that are original that I actually think are fun. One is a Podsafe Christmas song by Jonathan Coulton. The other, and I forget the name of it, and I'm going to be looking it up, and I'm going to waste a lot of time doing this while my drive loads, is also Jonathan Coulton, and it's Chiron Beta Prime. I try to stick to mostly traditional Christmas music. I think there's at least one Weird Al Christmas song, but I can't remember what it is.
There's two. One is Christmas at Ground Zero, and the other is The Night Santa Went Crazy.
The Night Santa Went Crazy is the one I remember. Christmas at Ground Zero is the one I don't remember.
Yeah, both of them are good, but yeah, I love.
They're hard to find too. It's hard to find them.
I have The Night Santa Went Crazy.
Oh, cool.
But good night.
And to be fair, and to put my hand across the aisle, I would listen to the Hanukkah song, the Adam Sandler Hanukkah songs.
Oh, yeah, the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song is hilarious.
I listen to those every year, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Run DMC Christmas at the Hollies is a fun song. I do love listening to classical, White Christmas and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Jingle Bell Rocks. Let It Snow.
Oh, you know what? I got a third song for you. Bob Rivers' Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, yes. That is one of my favorites.
I pretty much like all the Bob Rivers Christmas songs, and there are a ton. Pretty much all of them are good.
Yeah.
I forgot about those.
I love listening to – I love my comedy Christmas songs. I have – I actually have one sent to me by Lucid about Rudolph.
Oh,
that we can't play on this podcast. But I have there's some holiday music from Jeff Foxworthy, the Redneck 12 Days.
Oh, bite me.
The Redneck 12 Days of Christmas is hilarious. It also has
but they're not real rednecks. That's why I hate them, okay? I'm going to put that out there in this podcast right now. They're not real rednecks. Get over it.
Ed Bill involves, Here's Your Sign Christmas. And
that guy needs a sign.
And I'm getting sued by Santa.
we're both big, fat, and jolly.
But my favorite is actually The 12 Pains of Christmas.
Oh, yes.
That is my favorite Christmas song, or holiday song for that matter, to listen to.
I lost my copy of it.
You know what? I'll send you one. I have.
Sad. It was one of the very few Christmas songs that I actually had, and I lost in transition and moving.
Oh. But no, I love it. In fact, I love that song. It really is a hilarious song.
No, it's absolutely a riot.
No, it's really ingenious in what they do. It mixes it up. I'm trying to think of what I was going to say, and I got blanked.
Yeah, I botched it for you. Sorry.
Yeah. Botch! But no, it's just great music. Just makes me laugh every time I listen to it. And I just love as it gets towards the end, they're just getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah, they get more frustrated and more frustrated. It's a great kind of continuity throughout the song.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Muppet songs from John Denver.
Ah, the Muppet Christmas Carol stuff. Yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the songs during the Muppet Christmas Carol were good. I have a version of Jingle Bell Rock from a certain Muppet television show that we'll be talking about in a moment. or to say TV special. But then there's also the John Denver special that includes, the famous, John Denver and the Muppets singing the 12 Days of Christmas. Which is very, very good. Do you have any other music?
Not really. I'll be honest with you.
Well, with that, let's move on to TV specials, holiday TV specials. And what are some of your favorite holiday TV specials?
Okay. The claymation-esque ones that are on CBS every year. Rudolph.
Rankin Bass.
Rudolph. Frosty.
The Night Without Frosty. The Town That Santa Forgot. A Night Without Santa Claus.
Yeah. Pretty much all of those. The only one I've managed to track down thus far on DVD at a reasonable price without having to pay like $100 for it is Rudolph, which is the one that, you know, most people remember anyway.
Yeah.
I don't have cable. It's easier for me to kind of watch it that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But other TV specials, man. You have a separate movie question, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That one's gonna be that one. I'm gonna be more talkative about, but I can't think of any other specials, except for Charlie Brown Christmas is always good.
Yeah.
They actually sell the trees now, which I think is crazy. I think it's and they sing too, which makes no sense.
That's not honestly when you watch it, it's not a not overly joyful Christmas special.
To be honest, like, most of the Christmas specials I watched were nice at the time, but like, hell if I'm gonna remember them now. Like, they're flooding back sort of kind of now. Like, there was a Garfield Christmas special that was on.
Oh yes,
time. I love that. I like the Garfield cartoons though, so that was a big
I mean, there's the Hanna-Barbera stuff, including with the Flintstones and Scooby-Doo.
I never liked the Flintstones Christmas Carol as much. It was there, but it was never among my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I think by that point, because there were, you know, I liked the original Christmas Carol so much.
Yeah.
I never got into the Scooby-Doo ones. I never got into the Flintstones Christmas Carol. It's not like it's bad animation or a bad story or a good, you know, a bad in any way. It just was never memorable to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with Hanna-Barbera, they had one of my favorite specials was the first Christmas Elf, which is basically about this troll that gets exiled from atop of a mountain that has like nothing but trolls and becomes Santa's first elf. It was a very fun little like half hour cartoon.
Oh my god. Elves were trolls. That's a scary D&D thought. I guess it also goes without saying The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. The classic,
yes.
The classic.
The Chuck Jones animation, Karloff's narration.
Yep, it is by far still probably. I would say it's by far probably my favorite overall.
Yeah, for me, you know, Disney cartoons also get thrown into there. Since you brought up A Christmas Carol, the recent I include TV movies into this as well because it really is made for TV. But the TNT version of A Christmas Carol with the Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart. But, you know, since I was talking about Disney, a special that I lost the VHS tape I had of it. But it was Disney's Christmas on Ice. This was done, like, back in 94.
I've actually been to a Disney on Ice at Christmas
But this is, like, a TV special to where, like, Jack Frost is like at Walt Disney World, and he like hires children to help him find 6 points of a snowflake to help make it snow at Walt Disney World.
No. I know what special you're talking about. I'm just saying I've been to an actual one, which is
you've been to an
which is actually fun in the garden, in the Boston Garden. So.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually a fun trip because to go to the Boston Garden, you basically just take the train in. Boston North Station is in the garden.
Nice.
So basically, you just, you know, you come off the train and turn right, and you just go up the steps.
Yeah. But yeah, that TV special is in my mind. I wish I could find it on. I wish somebody would upload it to YouTube. I mean, I've seen like scenes uploaded to YouTube, but I wish somebody would upload the special or Disney would release it on DVD or something, which I know is not happening. But and then you have all three of the Muppet holiday specials. Yes, there's been three.
No, I know there's three.
There's Muppet Family Christmas. There's basically a version of It's a Wonderful Life, that was done in the early 2000s, and then there was Letters to Santa in 2008, which I think is very underrated of how good it is.
Oh, have we brought up Disney Christmas Carol too? Like the cartoon one, not the...
Well, I brought the cartoons, okay. And I was talking about the, you know, the Christmas Disney Christmas Carol there. That was the first, actually the first showing of Scrooge McDuck.
Well, which is good, because I mean you have a character called Scrooge. Might as well make use of him. It's good. I don't think it's as memorable as everything Disney, but it was still good at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a lot older than it actually looks. Much like all Disney stuff, it was very ahead of its time. Again, I don't think it stuck as much with me as it should have.
But you know, going down the Muppet TV special, I mean, like I said, Letters for Santa, so many great bits. Just the opening bit with Mayor Bloomberg doing a guest appearance. You know, where Miss Piggy's like, they're waiting to line for the
he
post.
He wasn't mayor of New York at the time, if I'm not mistaken. Unless this is a very new one.
This is a very new one. This is 2008.
Oh, okay, then he was, yeah.
Yeah, he's waiting in line. Miss Piggy's like, Mr. Mayor, I want you to take me to the front of this line right now. It's like, but Miss Piggy, that would be impolite. And if there's anything us New Yorkers are known for, it's our patience.
Yeah.
And then Miss Piggy does a slow turn to the camera and goes, what has he done to this city?
Wah, wah, wah.
I like that comedy. Beaker having a wish, Bunsen creating a wish machine training on Beaker, and Beaker's wish being for a hot European model.
You'd think it would be to talk.
Yes. By the way, I know you've had to see when the Muppets were on Raw.
Yes, I did.
That was
there were very few entire Monday Night Raws I would go back and watch. That was one of them.
Yeah.
If we do a show on wrestling, I'll talk about the notable ones.
Yeah. And then of course the part where Pepe the Prawn and Rizzo the Rat go to the Sopranos to try to get Santa whacked.
That actually, I hate to say it, but that actually sounds like a good bit.
It really was. It was hilarious.
That sounds like a really good bit. I can respect that.
But I mean, it had Nathan Lane guest starring, Whoopi Goldberg. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's from like Law and Order. He was
I know who you're talking about though.
Yeah, the African American gentleman from Law and Order. Yeah, and I think Heidi Klum guest starred in it along. then there's
I could have sworn they also had Regis.
I think so at some
Regis
point.
Philbin.
Yeah. Basically It's a Wonderful Life that where Kermit, you know, it had David Arquette in it. Just for the.
Sorry, I can't help but laugh whenever anyone brings up David Arquette. You know why.
David Arquette, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh my god. Now that's joke that'll never die.
No, it won't. Just for the scene where they go to the theater and it's been turned into a rave, and there's Sam the Eagle, mm-hmm. with a pacifier in his mouth and glow sticks dancing at the rave.
That is excellent.
I still have to. I'm still trying to find that scene so I can like add it to my favorites on YouTube. But my actually absolute favorite is Muppet Family Christmas that has like the Sesame Street characters and the Fraggles.
Yeah.
Because it's just so awesome.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the best one overall is Muppet Family Christmas.
Just for the fact of its running gag with the icy patch.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's one of those things where as I gotten older, my love of the Muppets have just grown.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The Muppets are one of those timeless, you know, timeless childhood icons that anyone can look back and still have fun with, regardless mm-hmm. of age.
Yep. But, you know, speaking of Muppets, you know, let's move on to movies. And
speaking of Muppets.
Well, because, you know, two top at my list are Muppet Christmas Carol and the recent Muppet movie, both of which are excellent.
Yeah, and amazingly enough, the Muppet movie does take place around that time.
Yeah. And it was really – the whole My favorite scene in the recent Muppet movie was when they were basically...
Just keep in mind, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Well, I'm not going
to
spoil it.
I haven't had time to go down to a Redbox and basically rent like 8 movies all at once to watch.
There is a scene with Jet Black to basically where they make fun of a... Jack Black. Excuse me. I don't know why I said Jet Black. I apologize. I'm thinking Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah,
let's
say, what do you want to watch? Cowboy Bebop or something?
But Jack Black, and they make fun of a... why am I blanking on their name? The band that Jack was part of.
Tenacious D?
Thank you. I apologize, folks. But there was a certain song that Tenacious D did, and they basically do a bit on it. It's hilarious.
I will look forward to it when I see this movie.
But Muppet Christmas Carol, my God, Michael Caine was awesome as Scrooge. The puppeteering was great. The songs were beautiful. So many great one-liners. You know, Kermit going, Mr. Scrooge, the rats would like to know if they could have an extra piece of coal for the holidays. How would the rats like to spend the holidays? On the unemployment line! Heat wave! This is my island in the sun.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, Rizzo and Gonzo stealing the movie. But, you know, I kind of went first there. So what are your, like, holiday movies on your list?
Well, I like to start with Die Hard.
Oh, yes.
Because I have a machine gun. Ho, ho,
ho,
ho.
Ho.
And how often can you say Alan Rickman is in a Christmas movie?
I think Alan Rickman is very underappreciative as an actor.
I agree.
Because he's done a lot of good stuff. You know, that, Robin Hood.
Yeah, don't even bring up Harry Potter. That doesn't count.
He was in Harry Potter?
He was Snape.
Oh. Really? I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. I apologize.
I was say, really? That was like the only actor in that movie I had heard of. I was like, poor Alan Rickman. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
The modern one, which actually wasn't very good, but he was the best part of it. No, to be fair, I don't think anyone was really horrible in it. Okay, what other Christmas movies? And I almost want to bring up my own list of movies at this point, but Die Hard. And Die Hard 2, actually.
Yes, both take place during Christmas. Yep. They're technically Christmas movies.
Die Hard 3 takes place in the summer, and Die Hard 4, I don't know or when or care when that took place because it sucked. I mentioned the specific version of A Christmas Carol I watch every year, which is an absolute joy to watch. It is delightful. It's the 1953 version. Sometimes it's subtitled as Scrooge. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of hard to find at times, even on IMDb. It has a gentleman by the name of Alistair Sim playing Scrooge. By far the best Scrooge I have ever seen in any piece of...
Oh, so the movie's entitled Scrooge.
Scrooge. Just Scrooge.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the subtitles it has. But it is also released as A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
But it's been called Scrooge and A Christmas Carol. Even when I watched it younger, they'd use both titles.
Okay.
So it's actually hard to find. It was very hard for me to find on Netflix and get.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring that up is because on the first night at Holly Golightly, who was kind enough to join us, and, you know, one of her favorite movies was a movie in the 50s called Scrooged. And, you know, she was talking about how a lot of people know about the movie and confuse it with the 1980 movie called Scrooge starring Bill Murray, which is an excellent holiday movie.
Right. Yeah, there's a difference between Scrooge and Scrooged, and I was going to bring that one up too, by the way, which is...
Yeah, well, let's talk about it
which
now.
Which is a great movie. It's Bill Murray, Bobcat Goldthwait. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's for some, it's not the most memorable rendition of A Christmas Carol, but I still have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's a lot better than these Lifetime ones that they come up with. God. Where they have, like, a Lady Scrooge.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I've actually watched half of it, and it sucks. But you know, there's a lot of other great Christmas movies out there. I've mentioned both Die Hards. Those are excellent. I'm trying to come up with a couple of others. Elf with Will Ferrell.
Which I promised myself I'm going to finally watch this year.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Well, I've seen bits of it. I've never been a big Will Ferrell fan.
For him, it's a good movie. It's not like Talladega Nights and Anchorman and all that crap.
Yeah.
Who else is in that movie who's awesome? Because he's the father in that movie. Oh, James Caan.
James Caan, yeah. James Caan.
He's great in that movie.
Great to see a movie where James Caan is not being shot full of bullet holes.
Yes, that is excellent.
Yes, I made a Godfather reference. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's also one of the rare times where you will actually see Bob Newhart.
Yes.
And it has one of my more favorite Santas in Ed Eisner.
I love Ed Eisner. Played Granny Goodness in the DC Diniverse.
Yep, in the Diniverse, he was Granny Goodness, absolutely.
Granny Goodness, and he was Joan Janet Jameson in the Spider-Man series.
Yes, he was. I don't know why, but they always get good actors to play J. Jonah Jameson. I don't know why.
Yes, they do.
I need pictures of Spider-Man. I need them for Rapid Science.
I'll bring up one, Christmas Vacation.
By far my favorite Christmas movie, and is one I do watch every year without fail, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, yes. With the legendary Chevy Chase.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss his ass. Kiss yours. Happy Hanukkah. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
I love that movie. It's yes, so cool, it's too.
Yes, it is.
By far, one of my, probably my favorite, for me, I always seem like the ultimate Christmas movie is either A Christmas Story or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about A Christmas Story, my God, I think just because of the fact that everybody, there's at least one scene in that movie that everybody's experienced in A Christmas Story.
Fragile, it's Italian.
Fragile. I don't know if that was the same exact scene I was going to bring up. Fragile, it's Italian. Or soap in the mouth.
Yeah. I would say like any kid before the 90s probably knows what that's like.
Yep.
I would say definitely.
But both of you, so many funny scenes in Christmas Story. And, of course, I now know it's Gene Autry, but like I always confused that the narrator is Adam West because he sounds so much like Adam West.
I had to explain to somebody that Adam West is an actual person, not a character in Family Guy.
Wow.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
But yeah, you know,
I didn't like rub it in his face. I just told him that's an actual guy. His name is actually Adam West. He actually exists.
He played Batman once upon a time.
I didn't say that. I just basically explained to him that that is an actual person.
Yeah.
He probably thinks he's the actual mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island, but wasn't going to.
But, you know, going back to Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation, and then, of course, that couple in Christmas Vacation, the next door neighbors.
Oh, played by Elaine from Seinfeld, and I forget who the other guy is.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's like they were like basically the Christmas Vacation's version of Iago. When in doubt, hurt the couple.
When in doubt, yuppies.
Yep.
Hey, Griswold, where are you going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
Show you.
You got a lot of nerve talking to me like that, Griswold. Wasn't talking to you.
Talking to you. And then the whole rant at the end of the movie. You know.
Oh, yeah. I used to actually have that in Wave, and I would play it at least once a Christmas.
Oh, I'll probably be playing it here because I have
it. I lost it. I just watched the movie now that I own the movie, so I'm like, ah, let's watch a damn movie.
Oh, so what else is on your list?
I will, on a whim, watch the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Okay.
It's not a horrible movie, but it's not that great either. I have it because I have good memories of it. I have good memories of my mom flipping out on my aunt for bringing her small children to go see it. It's also the only movie I have seen on Black Friday. I had to go up for a power supply to fix my computer. But, yes, that holds specific memories. I'm holding back on one, so you'll have to forgive me, because I think we'll end on it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about, I believe. I'm just trying to make sure I haven't forgotten anything. Because knowing me, I've forgotten something. I did mention the Star Wars movies, but there's not much to discuss. They're not technically holiday films, but anyone who's a kid will remember having seen those movies on USA growing up. Like anyone my age probably, or like, oh yeah, dude, they totally did that. It could have just as easily been like Indiana Jones, which is another trilogy that they would put on every now and again, and they'd watch the whole thing, and it would be just as fun as the next time. I also mentioned the Santa Claus earlier. That's the one I was remembering. The first one, the first Tim Allen Santa Claus. Not the second one isn't nearly that good, and the third one outright sucks. But the first one is by far one of the best Christmas films I have ever seen, especially come out of the 90s.
Absolutely.
And if you want like the other end of that bell curve, go watch Christmas with the Cranks. That movie is awful.
There was a movie that came out around the same time, the one that had Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito. I thought that one was okay.
I forget what it is, but I know that movie exists.
Yeah. You know, A Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, those were the ones I was saving up.
Oh, those were the ones? Yep. Okay. I actually thought it was the other one, which I have on my list, which is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ah, yes. Here's the thing about The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's kind of in its own world. It's not exactly it's a cult classic Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It's not like Die Hard where I bring it up and it's a technicality.
Yeah.
Die Hard 2 are technicalities that I bring up. People hate me for it. Just like Cowboy Bebop the movie is a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
People hate
me. It's like just like another Christmas movie you'll be bringing up in a second. There are also bad holiday movies that I enjoy watching because they're just so bad they're good.
Oh, here we go.
One is Jingle All the Way.
I watched that as a kid. I won't watch it now.
It's a bad movie.
Oh, it's
I
horrible.
Agree
yeah, it's a god-awful movie. It was a god-awful movie when I watched it.
But do you know how riffable that movie is?
Oh, it's completely riffable. Just go watch the Nostalgia Critic's review of it.
That's why I enjoy it, because I enjoy riffing on it.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. You do realize Anakin flipping Skywalker's in that movie, right?
Yeah.
And the late, great Phil Hartman. That's a waste of his talent right there.
But the other bad movie, and it's going to come back to wrestling.
Santa with Muscles?
No.
Oh, really?
No, by the way.
This... You can connect Jingle All the Way to wrestling because The Big Show was in there.
He was?
The Big Show was one of the Santas. One of the Santas in the fake Santas with the Belushi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, All White is actually one of the Santas. You'd be surprised how many movies that guy's in, by the way.
I'm sure I would. Kind of like how I was surprised to find out that the Super Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 is Kevin Nash.
No, I knew that. Yeah, it's Nash. But the guy in the suit is Nash.
Yeah, but... No, the wrestling connection here is there's an awful movie that was made a couple years, about like 5-6 years ago. It's called Santa Slays.
Oh, with Bill Goldberg?
Yes.
Oh, dude, that is like cinema snob level bad, though.
Yes, it is. But that's what's so fun to watch. I can't explain, but I just love that opening. And I'm not really a horror type of person, and I like that movie. Gene's just like forgot.
No, I got a drink of water.
Me. Oh,
my throat's going. There's only one move. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna save it for the wrestling discussion. I'm about to say I have a decent movie that Bill Goldberg's in. It's not Universal Soldier 2, by the way.
No, I'm trying to remember it because I know he's been in a couple of good movies.
I'll give you a hint. It's an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh.
You know which one I'm talking about because it's got a lot of wrestlers in it, not just Goldberg.
Yeah. I believe I know which one you're talking about.
You know what? I'll just bring it up. It's The Longest Yard, the remake of The Longest Yard.
Ah, yes.
It has a lot of wrestlers in it.
It has Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Goldberg.
Kevin Nash.
Yep.
Kali is in it.
Kali is in it.
Before he became the Great Kali.
Before he was the Great Kali, he was in that movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like MacGruber, too.
Yeah.
MacGruber had better wrestlers in it, though. It had Chris Jericho, Mark Henry.
You know what? I could argue that, but that's from a different time.
Yeah.
But I think that's it for movies. So let's move on to our last question for the night, and that is holidays in anime and in Japan. And you know, being that we're anime fans, we have quite a bit of experience with this. And I think I'll bring up my first favorite, you know, holiday anime right off the bat. Gundam Wing Endless Waltz.
Okay.
It's like Die Hard.
Die Hard. It is technically a Christmas movie. Yep. Absolutely. We'll get no argument from me on that. For an anime Christmas movie, it's probably one of the best. But again, there's little to no good competition for it.
Yeah, well, maybe you have My Santa.
That's a great OVA. Yeah. My Santa. Yeah. That's great, yeah. There are times where I'll stick up for Ken Akamatsu. My Santa's not one of them. I'll defend Love Hina every now and again, but I won't defend the Christmas special, but I will not defend My Santa either.
Well, there's the Ari Yoriyoshi Christmas.
Which I have just picked up, by the way.
Did you get to watch that episode?
I haven't watched any of it. Don't realize how absolutely insane my backlog is.
I'm sure.
you don't understand. It's massive. I won't be getting to Ayoriashi until probably midsummer, if I'm lucky.
There's an anime that came out in 2010, and oh god, I'm blanking on the name. But it was this wonderful anime that I know is probably never going to be brought over here to America. But it was basically based off of, like, gag manga. That's gay or gag manga.
Gay
trip.
Manga?
Gag.
You said gay first.
Yeah, I know. I tried to correct myself in time. But it's just this funny, like, crude humor type of manga. It's hilarious. And they have a Christmas episode. And there's a running gag where because they make all these type of sexual jokes in the anime, and where the president follows his student council that's like has three girls and one guy, and they're like in this cabin in the woods, and you know, the president gives the president like, oh, you shouldn't have, and all of a sudden it starts buzzing.
If it's a dick in a box, I'm out of here.
You know, I just found out where that came from, that whole joke. I never knew that came from Saturday Night Live until a couple days ago.
Seriously?
Seriously. But now that I know...
I got a better one for you. Really? Really?
Really. Really. Comes back to wrestling.
Yeah, it always comes back to wrestling. I thought I'd make a Game Grumps joke, but you know what?
Let's go Miz.
Let's be Miz.
But no, I found it, and so that's a great Saturday Night Live.
No, it's actually probably out of the 2000s. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's no sweaty balls, but it's, you know, let's take it. I will take it in this decade.
Yes. But and then he goes with another person who gets a present for her because she's the maid for the vice president. And he goes, oh, so is it a present I could also use? And then it starts buzzing. It's like, well, if you have another hole. But it all ends with, you know, Santa Claus flies over them and drops a gift for the guy. It's like, oh my God, I got a gift from Santa. And then the gift starts buzzing. They never reveal what any of these gifts are.
They could be alarm clocks for all we know.
But it's like highly suggested that it's like one of those.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
Last I checked, this is an explicit show. I think we can say the word without yeah. buzzed out. This isn't one of my shows.
Yeah.
Where we'll rooster the word.
Yeah. You, say it,
you mentioned Endless Waltz. No love for Gundam 00? War in the Pocket? The whole thing takes place over Christmas.
I have not seen that yet.
Takes place between takes place the week before Christmas through New Year's.
Okay.
Sixth episode OVA from the Universal Century Gundam.
Ah, okay.
Great, great, great OVA. If you can find it before places run out of it, it's pretty good.
You mean Gundam 0080.
Yes, 0080.
I thought you were saying like Gundam 00.
No, 0080.
Yeah, 0080. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen that. Yeah,
it was on Toonami.
Yeah.
At least once.
I was confused for a second.
No, I have 00. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if there are Christmas episodes in it. There could be.
Not to my knowledge. Well, I think there may be a Christmas episode here or there, but yeah, definitely 0080. And really, that's really the only anime I can think of.
Oh, I got a list.
Oh, you do? Well, go ahead, sir.
This was for another project, but I have a list. 0091 has a Christmas episode. It's his second episode. It basically revolves around... are you familiar with the series?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Cybernetic Secret Agents. They pull what the main character from Christmas Eve to rescue a psychic kid on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
From people who want to murder him or do something to him for science.
Mm-hmm. For science!
But I thought that was pretty decent. There is an excellent arc in the second season of Ah My Goddess that takes place over Christmas Eve.
I forgot about that one.
That is actually a very good one. Because it lets Keiichi do something fudging useful for once. I just went all... No, it lets him be useful for once.
Wow.
As opposed to the goddesses doing everything, which I find very impressive.
Yeah.
Erd still guides him here and there and gives him encouragement without actually doing it for him. And it lets her character be something other than a piece of lazy fan service, which is always impressive. That's a great arc. The infamous Azumanga Daioh Christmas half episode. Reindeers are real. And Santa is Chiyo's father. Bigata HK, I don't know if you've watched that. That's far more recent.
Oh, yes, I love that show.
Has a Christmas episode and then proceeds to have another one.
Yes, it does.
Because why not? Because if you're going to do a series about a girl who wants to get laid a lot... You might as well have a lot of Christmas episodes. That's the best time to... That's the best time.
That's a really underrated series. And it is actually very funny and very good. It has a very nice ending at the end.
It's really good. Its plot synopsis does it absolutely no justice.
No, it doesn't.
Because it inadequately describes that series. I could talk... I also want to do a discussion about that at one point. Crusade has a Christmas episode where they
teach
a girl about how awesome Christmas is. And you get to see Rosette in like some kind of Christmas skirt, I believe. She dresses up in a Christmas skirt.
Well, of course, you have to have the cute female protagonist dress up in cute.
Yeah. Excel Saga has a Christmas episode.
That's right.
Though the manga version is far funnier because it has a long, long Il Palazzo rant, which is, I hear, hilarious. It's offensive in some ways because he basically takes a shot at Christianity, but it is funny.
I'll jump in here. Love Hina has one.
Well, they have the whole Christmas special.
Yeah,
you mentioned that. I won't defend that piece of...
Well, they have several, especially in the manga, there are several times where it takes place during Christmas.
Yeah, but they have the Christmas special.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
that's better than My Santa.
That's like saying the dump I took 10 minutes ago is better than the dump I took 3 days ago. It's not a very good moment of it's one of the rare times where I'll actually watch Bennett the Sage's anime reviews. Because he'll trash on something I've seen, hate, and would otherwise throw in the gutter and care about seeing trashed. Lime Barrels of Iron, they do an Office Christmas Party episode.
I remember seeing this episode.
It's actually kind of funny where they do like this kind of talent night type thing.
Yeah.
I actually rather enjoyed that episode because it was a lot of fun. By the way, Lime Barrels of Iron has a great Christmas episode and a great beach episode because they take nothing seriously in it.
Nice.
Which is absolutely what that show needed to do. It's one of those times where there was no like end of the world plot that was thrown in. There was just run amok madness for 24 minutes. Perfect. Lucky Star has a brief Christmas episode. It's no different than the rest of Lucky Star. Nadesco has a Christmas episode, which I find kind of fun. It was kind of one of those levity episodes, though. It was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It was one of those times to also show off its female talent. So, and it wasn't too fan servicey, if you think that's what I mean.
Yeah, oh, I know what you're talking about.
I stopped this list at MM. MM's last episode is a Christmas episode where they teach Mio the meaning of Christmas and not being complete. I don't know if you've seen MM.
You made it all the way through that show. I like stopped in episode 6.
No, I watch the whole thing. I finish everything. I'm a reviewer and a podcaster. I have to finish all this crap, you know. I bought it. I own it. It's on my shelf. I lent Chris. He got through about as much as you did. The problem with that show is it jumps the shark halfway through.
Yes, it does.
Because you have a Lolly character for science.
Yes.
That you know, that was the Shark Tank and the ramp just set up, ready to go.
Yep.
But those are the ones I can think of, you know, that I made like a list for. I'm sure there are more. I'm sure other people listening would definitely come up with some. Yeah. They're like, I think like the Helsing Christmas episode.
I'm sure if Helsing and Full Metal Alchemist both had one.
No, FMA does not have a Christmas episode.
Oh, does?
FMA does not celebrate Christmas because this is evil Nazi. This is alternate universe evil Nazi Germany, run by homunculi. There's no Christmas. Are you kidding? There's a lot of fan art out there for Full Metal Alchemist. You know, they're all wearing Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
I wish maybe Christmas DBZ. To be honest with you, like I couldn't tell you a Shonen Jump series that has a Christmas episode or Christmas version.
Uh-huh.
Christmas story of any kind.
Yeah.
I do think the most marketable stuff would have that. No, not really.
No, not really. But I think we've reached the end because, we've gone a long time.
Oh, I like to talk. That's why.
Yeah. But that's why we had you on. So, Gene, do you want to let people know where they can find you?
They can find me in many places. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMeanGene. That's T E H Mean Gene. Because somebody's squatting the actual one that says The Mean Gene. Actually, someone's also squatting Mean Gene. Like if famous wrestling journalist Mean Gene Okerlund wanted Twitter, it'd probably have to be WWE Mean Gene or something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised. They're making every one of them have a Twitter. And you can follow my personal blog at meangeneproject.com. I'll post stuff up there, let's plays, reviews, ranting, this, that, and the other thing. And you can check out the glorious and slow return of Shaft at shaftplus.com. That's all spelt out because you can't have pluses in website addresses.
Nope.
Shaftplus.com. Where we will be doing things that are geeky, anime-related, and the fun times will be back. Though Neo Kage does not believe it. Because of the date we picked.
Why? What date did you pick?
April 1st,
2013. Well, you know, you pick that date, you got to expect that.
Well, I expected better of Neo Kage. That's all. I expected more from him. But you can catch me on all of those places where I will be doing things. I don't think I have anywhere else to plug because I axed my review show recently, which is a shame. There may be something on Shaft Plus to that effect, though. I will be doing
yeah
a lot of.
Well, I was listening to your review show and it was very, very good.
Yeah, I was enjoying doing it, but there was no real way to get it out to the masses. There may be a redo. With Shaft Plus, where we're hammering out all the details. That's why it's taking so long to actually get out, too.
Yeah.
Mainly because we want to hammer out each individual detail. But listen to the two shows that are up. We talk about the whole Disney LucasArts thing, and we discuss the return of Shaft.
Mm.
And make fun of Thomas. That's the yep. important thing.
Making fun of me is always a good time.
Yes. Yeah.
I make fun of me.
Yes.
That's how good a time it is. That is it for this special episode of Tom's 8 Crazy Nights. So until next night, ladies and gentlemen, happy holidays.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. For Christmas vacation, got a ton of stuff to celebrate. Now it's getting closer, I can't wait. Gonna make this holiday as perfect as can be. Just wait and see this Christmas vacation. This old house is looking good. Got ourselves the finest snowman in the neighborhood. Ain't it fun? Always on the run. That's how it's done on Christmas vacation. Let's go deck the halls and light the lights. Get a toasty fire burning bright. Welcome that he's ever had. We're so